Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This is crazy.
Suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
The Reardon Roundtable starts now.
All right, welcome. Friday afternoon, 3:07, 97.1 FM Talk. It's Mark Reardon, and for the, I believe now this is the fourth week in a row, we have a panel assembled in the studio, so that's rather historic just because I get to see people in person, like former State Senator Jeff Smith. I usually introduce the ladies first. We're going to go in reverse order because I've seen these two more recently, and Jeff, you, we did like a movie night with your kids at my house. What were we seeing? Like Ryan the Last Dragon, right? Wasn't it that or was it something else?
It was
Remember
that.
Remember what it was? It was that. Like it was, in the fall.
Yeah, it was great.
I had you over and we did a little screening and that was fun. But that's the last time I've seen you in person. So it's great to see you. Thanks for coming in. Former executive director of the state GOP, Gene Evans, is here with us this afternoon. How are you, Gene?
I am fantastic and happy to be here.
And Janie, I feel like I haven't seen you in like a month because I haven't seen you in like a month.
I know, because you were on vacation, then I was on vacation.
And you look tan, right?
I am tan.
I'm a little tan too, though, aren't I?
No, not really.
Oh, come on. Really?
No. A little pasty.
I don't see it.
That's okay.
Not next to Jane.
Not next to me.
Jane, no,
well,
no.
Yeah,
I don't wear sunscreen.
I'll
I'm
give
terrible.
You that, but I've been out in the sun. I was in Las Vegas in 108 degrees.
Jane
heat.
Looks like Rachel Dolezal over there.
Oh, wow.
Oh, look at that reference.
And I got to braid my hair.
By the way, Smith's the only one that could get away with that. If either of us said that,
you'd be canceled.
We'd be canceled right away.
Right.
Yeah, you're extending our 15 minutes of fame, by the way.
All right. Well,
people are like, who is that?
Let's start with the heat. That's here's the deal, though, today. I'm just going to tell you, just because I'm a dew point geek, I still don't know what the dew point means, except this. When that dew point's high, like I checked yesterday, mm-hmm. it was 72, right? Mm-hmm. Sticky, uncomfortable. Vegas, it was 26. That's drier. So today, believe it or not, even though the temperatures are sky high, the dew point's been dropping. It's at 66
yes, drier.
So it's a little bit drier, offering you some optimism as we head into the weekend. The thing that strikes me about this, and maybe this is just me, it's already past the middle of June. So I feel like this summer is sliding by us very, very quickly. Is it just me?
No.
Is that happening for anyone else? Yes,
no,
Sue Thomas,
is.
You say it's happening to you too?
Oh, it's terrible. I hate it when it goes fast.
I would agree. All right, well, let's talk about some stuff here this afternoon. And because we have more people downtown, a lot of activity, look, we got this gymnastics event in a couple of weeks. Let's start with crime and some of the things that are happening right now. We have, of course, the new mayoral administration, Jane, focusing on criminals that are in jail and helping them, not the victims of crime in the city. I had Lewis Reed on yesterday talking about some of these things relating to the workhouse and the jail and the budget. So are things going to smooth over? And do you think that Tashara Jones and her administration are actually doing anything to reduce the violent crime that's plaguing the area?
No, but I also think, so right now they're fighting over the budget. And there's two issues. One is closing of the workhouse, which is basically being done now by getting rid of federal detainees. Now, mind you, these are people who are St. Louis citizens. And they are arrested in the city of St. Louis. And it was the feds helping out with the unbelievable crime going on in the city of St. Louis. So that's why there are so many federal detainees, because they were doing the job that city officials were not doing. So the solution to make the workhouse work and this whole slogan work is they shipped off 160 people to Kentucky, which if you're really focused on detainees, you don't take them from their families and their lawyers and, you know. So I don't know, out of sight, out of mind.
That case has been made that this is something that is affecting these inmates because they can't see.
And it's much more expensive because you do have to, you know, transport them every time they go to court and So I don't think it really is about the detainees. That's what's sad. The other part of the budget is the stimulus money or the new money coming in. And I mean, the mayor wants to do a Sam Page where she gets unilateral authority over this. And the Board of Aldermen has been very clear. We're going to have hearings and we're going to decide how to spend this money. And I think that that is a good thing. After what went on in the county, I think it's great that the Board of Aldermen is saying, no, we're going to decide how this new money is going to be spent. We're going to have hearings and we're not going to just hand you $80 million because you got to cover a budget hole because you terminated that federal contract with the detainees. You're losing $7 to $9 million of revenue.
Right. That was what Lewis was talking about yesterday, that there's also revenue that's being
lost. So there's an unbalanced
here.
Budget. Yeah. And so that's what it's about. So do I think this little tiff will get worked out? Yeah. Eventually it's going to get figured out between supplemental and budget. And they've got a lot of money coming in and it'll get, I think that's more likely to get ironed out. The long-term crime problem, there is nothing that indicates to me that we are really going to deal with either the short, the medium, or the long term.
We had a shootout that happened in the middle of the day, right down the street here, all the way down to where KMOX used to be located. There was another incident yesterday. We're on I-70. There was someone that got into an incident, and somebody shot from a car when they got off the exit. Mm-hmm. So it happens too often and on a regular basis. And we can kind of segue into what Lori Lightfoot's saying in Chicago, because she wants to make it all about guns, not criminals, and also is talking about racism.
When we think about racism, many of us think about its visible and audible forms. But the reality is the insidious nature of systemic racism has other impacts that are every bit as deep and harmful. Sadly, racism has taken a devastating toll on the health and well-being of our residents of color, and particularly those who are Black. And without formally acknowledging this history and reality and the continuing impact of that infamous legacy, looking at the root causes of today's challenges, we will never be able to move forward.
All right, Jeff, let's talk about this, because she's making the case. She points toward the average lifespan of someone who's white in Chicago versus the average lifespan of someone who's Black. I mean, the points that she's making are not completely illegitimate. But let's think about where Lori Lightfoot is in her city with the level of crime and the attacks on the police. This is not a gun issue in Chicago. This is not a race issue in Chicago. It is a crime issue that people on the far left are unwilling to solve, and it's getting out of control all across the country. And she wants to talk about guns and the scourge of guns, and they ran this story this week on CNN about different states. That's not states, okay? It's cities. It's urban America. That's where the gun issue is. So it's not in Baldwin. It's not in Columbia. It's not in Jeff City. It's in urban America. Lori Lightfoot is the mayor of a city in urban America. It's incumbent upon her to solve some of those problems without blaming the rest of us.
So a couple thoughts. First of all, crime actually has risen kind of across the country. It hasn't been isolated to cities that have reallocated funding for police. It's kind of been across the board. It's
well, I don't disagree
in varying
with that.
Degrees, though. Right. I do believe some have skyrocketed more than others.
Certainly, some cities have had it worse than others. But criminologists still have not figured out exactly what caused the long-term decline in crime from 1993 until about 2015. And so they certainly haven't gotten a handle on exactly why crime has spiked for the last year.
Are you confused by that?
Am I confused by it?
Why crime has spiked in the last year? I think that's pretty easy to explain.
Yeah,
I mean, really do.
My sense is that certainly a lot of it has to do with a broad pullback by officers who don't want to be in the news, don't want to be a name that everybody hears about for the next several years.
Combined with criminals who are emboldened knowing that there aren't going to be consequences for virtually anything they do, including knocking over Asian people in the city of New York.
Yeah, I mean, those videos are obviously disgraceful. But
mainly white. Well, maybe not, but that's okay.
So to answer your question a little more succinctly about Lori Lightfoot, two things can be true at the same time.
Right.
Racism can continue to be a problem in this country. And You still see in Chicago, and in a very glaring, you know, example here in St. Louis, if you look at the Ferguson report and all the information about the two sides of the Del Mar Divide, the fact that you have an 18-year difference in life expectancy on different sides of the Del Mar Divide, we see that the legacies of racism and discrimination continue to be seen in a lot of these economic and health indicators in this country. That doesn't mean that crime isn't a problem today in Chicago. And it doesn't mean that some of the long-term approaches to address racism are going to solve crime.
But it also
today,
doesn't mean that racism is causing all of those. I mean, there are things that are the root cause of a lot of things in inner cities. Poverty, lack of education. There are nutrition issues. All these things lead to. Now, if you want to blame everything on race and systemic racism, I suppose you can do that. And that's what happens every day. But there are a lot of factors. And by the way, it's within our capabilities addressing some of those factors, including reforming education. But there's no willingness to do that.
Well, we did pass a pretty good bill this year in the House. We're waiting or in the legislature and waiting for the governor to sign it on ESAs, which will help with some of the education. But I think we need an all of the above strategy where we address all of these things, crime, the root causes. I think it's important to remember that overwhelmingly the victims of crime in urban areas are minorities and black. And in the prison, I don't get what's going on there. I mean, I want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but taking people away from their home and putting them in Kentucky where they can't even have visitors, a lot of these people haven't even had their trials yet. So they're innocent until proven guilty. People sleeping on the floor. Like if
that's frustrating.
If you want to do real criminal justice reform, then do it. And I'm 100% behind you. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. But I don't get what this is because I don't see, and maybe, and you're no more about this than I do, but I don't see how you help reform a system when you're sending prisoners hundreds of miles away from their family where at least they have a support system while they try to get through this difficult time and hopefully get to a place where either they're innocent or guilty, but they can come back into society.
At least in St. Louis, I mean, I would advise maybe instead of talking to just criminologists that people actually talk to police officers because they will tell you why the crime went down in the 90s because they hired a bunch of cops and there were 35 cops in a district for every shift. Now there's 9. So that, I mean, that does not help the crime problem. It doesn't. We have 9 officers.
Of course not.
One shooting takes almost every cop out of commission in a district. That is unacceptable. All they do is bounce from murder to murder to murder. Everybody's like, oh, if cops were so great, crime would be going down. No, we have basically been defunding and taking cops off the street since the 90s when the crime went down. Sort of understandable. And Frank, what's really ironic is Chief Isom was one of the people who did a phenomenal job of getting the crime rate down so that Dotson could go ahead and cut the budget. So then 2014 hit, Ferguson hit, and crime has been shooting up ever since. This isn't in the last year. Crime has been going up. We're seeing a horrible spike right now. But since 14, crime has gone up. And so I do think it has. I don't say it's everything. Cops do one thing. They can only take care of the short-term problem.
Yeah.
They can only get dangerous criminals off the street. They can't be social workers. They can't change health care. They can't change housing. They can't change parenting. They can't change any of that. But they do need to get violent criminals off the streets. So this idea, we used to do this to teachers, where everything was their fault, too. You know, the least paid public servants are the ones that are society's problems. So we've gone off of teachers, and now we're on to cops. Maybe it'll be doctors next. I don't know who will be next. But the bottom line is the government has not done its job to take care of the root causes of crime. So we're doing all these short-term nonsense things because we don't want to deal with the fundamental problem that it's education, healthcare, housing, economic opportunity.
Jane, our newest Congresswoman, Cori Bush, has proposed decriminalizing every drug or just legalizing every drug. That was her plan this week. Now, I'm all for, stopping the war on drugs. I have a libertarian streak, too.
Right.
But I do think that is going to go. When you talk about fentanyl, which is killing a lot more people than COVID in cities across America.
She wants to decriminalize crime. I'm convinced at this point.
Yeah, well, that is exactly what she wants to do.
I'm starting to get convinced that that's what it comes down to, and we're just not going to enforce anything. And we're seeing the effects of that. It's really exhausting.
Well, there's just a lack of personal responsibility that is pervasive throughout our everywhere. And, whether it's people getting unruly on planes, or if it's
right.
It's just it's
terrible.
I was going to mention something in relation to the police. Did you see the video of all of the passengers that had to be called to the front of the plane? I can't remember if that was a Southwest flight or something else. And it was a former flight attendant that was just going nuts. And they couldn't even get the person held down firmly in the aisle of the plane. And I thought about that in terms of police officers mm-hmm. responding to people when you see the amount of force. I mean, when someone's got that adrenaline and sometimes fueled by intoxicants and drugs in mm-hmm. their system, there's sometimes not a lot you can do. All right, it's the Reardon Roundtable here on a Friday afternoon. Gene Evans is on the panel, former State Senator Jeff Smith. Jane is back with us in studio. Much more to come on 97.1 FM Talk. Hang in there.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, welcome back. Reardon Roundtable for a Friday afternoon. Jane's going to hang out in the next hour. Dan Buffa coming in on entertainment. Frank Cusimano as well. Cardinals not off to a great start in Atlanta last night, but they had won three in a row, so we'll maybe cut them a little slack. We'll see how the rest of the weekend goes. It's kind of a bummer, isn't it?
It makes me sad. I can't even tweet about it because
we'll get into it a little later here. Jane Duker is here. Gene Evans, former state representative and former executive director of the state GOP, and former state senator Jeff Smith. Jane, you had texted me earlier, and I'm not caught up on this. So tell me what's happening with the issue with Medicaid and the FRA, and the governor is not going to
call a special session. Okay, well, first of all, what people need to understand is this tax is basically the whole entire state budget sort of revolves around this.
Yes.
And what it is and I'll try to simplify it, is we tax healthcare providers, okay? That tax is what's used as the state's match for Medicaid. So we put in the state's part, the Fed puts in a whole bunch of parts, so we pull down a lot of dollars.
Like billions.
$1.6 billion for healthcare for our citizens.
It's important to note that the Medicaid portion of the budget is about a third, if not more.
If
correct?
You include federal funds,
okay,
not
right,
if
still.
You include just state funds. But however, it's $1.6 billion of healthcare for our citizens. And not to mention that it keeps our hospital and healthcare infrastructure, which is one of the best in the world, up
keeps
and running.
It, That's
it
right.
keeps it going, all those jobs. BJC is
Can
the
I
biggest
just say,
employer.
It's one of the first things that I learned about before I was even sworn in
yes.
was somebody from Missouri Hospital Association tried to explain it to me. And it takes a couple times to get it. But basically,
it's everything.
Budget will implode.
Yes.
They don't pass this.
But everybody, look, I
and they put a sunset on it.
Right.
Ridiculous.
But everybody realizes that this has to get done. It's just, I had Senator Wheeland on a couple of weeks ago. He admitted it's going to get done. But how is it going to get done? I mean, it has to, right? Everybody knows
that.
Well,
the problem is, so you have two senators, Wheeland's one of them, Bob Onder, where they have said that they're going to put, they want to talk about banning certain forms of birth control as a condition for them to allow FRA to go through. So they're hijacking. See, this is the problem with the sunset clause. It becomes a bargaining chip and allows the very, 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 very minority to hold the entire budget hostage for their pet projects and their pet issues. Well, now they've glommed onto birth control, IUDs, the pill.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, so now they want to make sure that Medicaid can't be used for those healthcare items.
And if you really don't, they're suggesting that Medicaid can't be used for birth control pills.
Yes, they are.
They
for
are
birth control pills
and yes. IUD. And
I thought it was
cancer.
The morning after pill.
That no, too.
And that is included. So okay. I've been getting calls from the base all over the state of women going, "Wait a minute. I mean, I'm pro-life. Our whole base is pro-life. We're in a pro-life state." But an IUD is not an abortion.
No.
And so I'm hearing from people
well,
literally.
Neither is the birth control pill. So I would totally oppose that. I'm pro-life, by the way. There you go.
It's too extreme.
So what's happened is they've hijacked it. And there's this, you're not really pro-life if you don't support this. And they're using some senators are using the chemical names. And so it's confusing. And people just say, oh, of course not. We do not want to fund abortion. I agree with that. I'm pro-life. But an IUD is not an abortion. Birth control pills are not an abortion. We had this debate on the House floor. I wasn't there. It was after I left.
It's all in the definitions.
But some men tried to propose something like this, and female Republicans stood up and said, sit down, that, you know, I'm on the pill and I'm pro-life, so, you know, buzz off. And they killed it. And the House is 100%.
The House is not the problem.
House is not the problem. It's a couple of senators, and it's bad policy and it's bad politics, and I think it's going to come back
and
bite them.
Okay, but so again, how does this get worked out? Because even again, Senator Whelan, they know that it has to be somehow worked out, but somebody's going to have to blink, right?
Well, the governor said, I'm not calling it until you all figure out that we're not banning birth control. That would put us out of compliance with the federal, and the feds would just pull our program.
Right. So if they don't come to the agreement that the House already came to and they try to pass what's not a clean FRA, we'll get sued again and we'll lose the money.
Jeff, any other perspective on this?
Well, I just want to piggyback on what Gene said, not only is it bad policy and bad politics, because even though Missouri is a conservative state, a majority of people do not want to ban IUDs.
A vast majority.
Okay, a vast majority, probably like
70-80%.
80% or so. And so not only is it bad policy and bad politics, but it's also really bad if you don't want to see abortions, because the best way to
that's a pretty good point, Jeff. Right? I'm going to have to give
you're
you that.
You're going to have
one.
A lot.
Right.
You're
why don't
have a
they
lot,
think that's a really
you
good point?
You want Medicaid patients to not have the pill?
Yeah. If no one can use IUDs or the pill.
That is an excellent point. That's a mic drop point right there. The host should have thought of that.
Crazy.
But thank you, Jeff, for helping me.
Yeah, no, and everybody knows this. And so this is just, again, because there was a sunset clause put on this most important piece of legislation. It is the most biggest piece of legislation. And it was when I was in the governor's office.
Right.
We were getting threats from the feds back then. You know, you guys leverage a lot of money to get a lot of federal dollars by taxing healthcare providers. And at any moment, you saw how fast the feds came down on Eric Schmidt on the gun thing, saying, you don't want to play with the feds, then we're pulling you and you're not prosecuting.
That's such a joke. You know, and I pointed this out yesterday, if Governor Parson did the exact same thing with immigration, Merrick Garland and the Justice Department would have done a damn
baloney.
Thing.
Nobody can nullify. Can we just all agree that
nullifying
is a joke?
That's the other thing. Your whole nullifying and void thing was a misrepresentation.
But regardless, the feds are in charge, and they will swiftly come down and pull our program.
I think he made the point effectively, personally. Let's talk about your favorite Senate candidate and mine, Mark McCloskey.
The prosecutor dropped every charge except for alleging that I purposely placed other people in imminent risk of physical injury, right? And I sure as heck did. That's what the guns were there for. Purposely placed at least one person in apprehension of immediate physical injury. In other words, I stood out on the porch with my rifle and made them back up. And that's what I'd do again if that's a crime in Missouri. By God, I did it, and I'd do it again. I'd do it again. Anytime the mob approaches me, I'll do what I can to place them in imminent threat of physical injury, because that's what kept them from destroying my house and my
there
family.
There you go. Well, look, he's a nut job in my world, but that was a pretty good soundbite. I have to give him credit for that. And I don't know how it's going to play in the Senate race. Gene, you used to run the party here. We have a lot of entrants. Vicky Hartzell was on my show last night. We still think Ann Wagner might get in, Billy Long. In fact, why doesn't the entire Cory Bush should just get in and run as a, you know, run as a Republican. Just get the whole delegation
Jeff Smith.
In.
I'm thinking about, and now that Eric Greitens and Mark McCloskey have both pled guilty to charges, I'm thinking about switching parties and running as a Republican.
Amen.
You hit the
yes. 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 I will support you and be your campaign manager.
So the polling showed McCloskey had a little, he had 10 or 12%. I think Greitens is still in the lead. He has a name ID. Greitens is not anywhere in the state. He didn't come to State Lincoln Days. Nope. He's been to two events that I'm aware of.
There were women there
all over the rest of the country raising money. And I think eventually that'll catch up with him. But we got a long way to go. I think Jason Smith is going to wait till the first of the year. He's going to come in with the Trump endorsement and announce. And then I think some people may drop out.
Why do you think Trump's going to get involved?
Because he wants to be relevant.
Well, there's
no
guarantee
here,
though.
Well, he just endorsed Murkowski's opponent up in Alaska.
Let me ask the question this way. Can we assume, because with the list that Greitens has, Kimberly Guilfoyle, Rudy, all that. Look, I had breakfast with him a couple of weeks ago, and I told him I didn't like that stuff, all right? But if that's the Trump path that he's taking, if he doesn't get the Trump nod, he doesn't have anything,
there
does
are
he?
Many people that think he has the endorsement because
right,
he implies it.
He implies
it. No, I get that. I understand that. My point is if what you're saying, if it goes to somebody else eventually,
then
how can
what?
Greitens survive that? That's going to look pretty bad.
I still think people will not know that. I mean, there's a lot of low information voters out there. There are people who can't hear your show, right? So they don't know what's going on in the world. So
thank you, Gene.
That's a shame.
Wow.
That's why she comes back
smooth,
every once in a while.
Smooth, Gene. Smooth.
Love it, Gene.
I still think there's a lot of time. I think some of these guys are smart to wait. At the same time, Schmidt's raising a ton of money right now, and continuing to have his name out there, and it's a freebie for him. For these congressionals, if they run, they give up their congressional seat.
Well, so okay, let me go down that path a little bit, because if we get to next year, and again, the filing doesn't start till next year, and we have Jason and Vicky, that means they're not running for their House seats,
that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
So
and the vultures are already lining
Senate,
up.
That means that the state Senate may be an even bigger
cluster.
S show. Than it was this past session, because you may have 7 or 8 state senators all running for Congress and trying to outdo one another by being
out
more
abortion,
conservative, out abortion, outgun, right. Out Trump the others. So it may have far-reaching kind
can,
of
can
ripple
you
effects.
Have, because this is the stuff when you get into the weeds with the filing and everything, but can you, let's say that Jason and Ann, Vicky Hartzler, they file and then they realize the money's going elsewhere, the polling doesn't reflect, they can pull out at a certain point and still run for their congressional seat or not? There would be a little bit of a delicate balancing act there.
Just
where you
until
can,
filing closes,
okay.
Which will probably...
So hedging the bets is not going to help very
much. Well, the other thing that's throwing a monkey wrench into this is we're so late in doing redistricting because we're not getting the information. Normally, they would already be working on those districts, but they're not even getting the info until September or October. So we don't know what those congressional districts are going to look like. So if you've got one that's more of St. Charles, a St. Charles state senator has got a good shot at that. If it's got more of St. Louis County, now it's looking a little more like a moderate. So,
right.
And it's the same thing in other parts of the state where Vicky Hartzler, I mean, if that takes over all of Columbia, that's Caleb Rowden's to lose. But if it doesn't include Columbia, it's going to be tougher for him because he's seen as more of a moderate. I don't know that he really is.
And he's got nice hair, too. He's got great hair.
He's the head of the hair caucus. Yeah.
No doubt.
And he should be.
Look, I think a lot of these potential Republican contestants can lay claim to the possibility, at least, of getting a Trump endorsement. You know, Schmidt doesn't have the feel of, like, the Trump base, but he did file that lawsuit and was a big part of that lawsuit to try to overturn the election. So that's kind of his claim on it. Billy Long is personally close to the Trump family, probably personally closer than anybody else. McCloskey is a complete buffoon, but
he was at State of the Union.
But he was at the State of the Union, and his ridiculous gesture is exactly the type of thing that Trump tended to be attracted to. So. And then, by the way,
I think maybe the person that has the least likely shot is the person who thinks he has the endorsement, because it's hard for me to believe that Senator Hawley's not going to have some influence with the former president when it comes to Greitens. And they don't like each other.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, they're very close, and they do talk. And Hawley has done a good job of how he's spoken about this. And in fact, but he was asked at Lincoln Days if he was going to get involved. The question was posed to him, so you're not going to get involved at all? And he said, no, I'm not saying that. He was saying he was going to wait.
Senator Hawley said this, right?
Senator Hawley. So he's going to wait, and he will be influential. And in fact, his chief of staff over Missouri is probably going to run for Vicky Hartzler's seat, so there's going to be more influence there.
Do you still run into him every once in a while, Senator Hawley? Can you ask him why he's being such a big baby about not coming back on my show since the interview that I did after January 6th? Because they've completely blacklisted me after I had a relationship with the guy for 10 years, and he wants to be a big baby. And if it's not him, it's his staff. Hopefully they hear
and
this.
Pass that along.
You want me to send you the MP3?
Gene wants to get in that. It's utterly ridiculous.
Why are you dragging me into this?
Because I happen to ask a couple of, well, I'm not unintentionally, okay. But I happen to ask a couple of tough questions, and all of a sudden I'm off the list.
Yeah,
and you weren't hostile at all.
No, I wasn't hostile. Yeah. So if you want to be a baby, Josh, be a big baby. We'll see if that gets their attention. 339, 97.1 FM Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Ah, Reardon Roundtable for a Friday as we take you into a hot and sticky St. Louis weekend. Frank Cusimano in the next hour. We'll talk a little Cardinals baseball and the rest of the sports. Also, Dan Buffa. Several movies being released this week. Jane's going to hang out. We have Sue's News. One more segment of the Reardon Roundtable with Ms. Duker. Gene Evans, former state rep, former executive director of the state GOP, and former state senator Jeff Smith. Why hasn't our vice president, Jeff, been to the border, even though that's kind of what she was appointed to do? I can't wait for this answer. Gene just kind of stood back, put her finger on her cheek.
I'm dying to know.
Yeah. Is there a good answer? You and Jane are going to have to come up with this one. Please explain.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's an answer that really passes the smell test.
No, there's not. I mean, all right.
At some point, you just got to admit it.
Yeah,
I mean, we're good at that.
Yeah, I mean, she can say, the root cause of the problem is actually in Central America, in Guatemala and Honduras. But like, nobody's going to believe that because that's not the part of the problem that affects people
about.
In the United States. Right. So she's going to have a better answer than that. She's going to have to get better at media because the last.
Why?
Few
wait,
things...
wait. Why? No, there's no pushback. Why does she have to change anything?
I think there
They're
was pushback.
I think people are not relative to what we experienced in the last administration.
But I mean, she's getting a little pushback, and they're still going.
Well, okay, but can I ask a serious question? Because
yes.
You two are generally honest politically.
Yes, we
because,
are.
Yeah, you and Jeff, right? I consider you. But when it comes to Kamala Harris, I've seen more and more evidence that she's just not ready for prime time, and you guys have to know that going into 2024.
I think that's right.
Do you think Pence got horrible scrutiny? No, he didn't. I mean, the vice presidents traditionally don't get all the glare. Now, that being said, I think she does have a PR
if
political.
Pence did something that was even on the edges of being embarrassing. It was
following
in
Trump,
the news cycle.
Most of the time was mostly embarrassing. But go ahead.
Look,
Jeff.
You know my point.
My
there's
opinion,
a double standard.
Mark, I think she didn't show herself to be like a dazzling political performer during the 2020 presidential primary. And she doesn't appear over the first 6 months of the presidency to be a lot better than she was before. She's going to have to,
step up
her game a little bit, because when you're playing at that level, you have to be very good every
time.
There
might be a reason why she's not out there, and maybe this is part of her growing process.
But her staff has got to be like, you're going to get asked this question.
Yes.
What is your answer going to be? We got to.
Or they just say, don't be somewhere.
I don't think someone told them, say, I haven't been to Europe.
I don't think they said that wasn't one of the coaching notes.
Are we
practicing our cackle?
I think there were painful echoes of Hillary Clinton's cackling when she was uncomfortable. It kind of, I hope I don't come across as sexist. I apologize. But there were definitely similarities between the way the two respond to difficult interviews.
Hey, here's some good news, Jeff. This is not the woke, crazy audience. You're confusing it with the NPR station. Meantime, you have Mike Pence given a speech, and he's heckled. Listen to this.
I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican, in that order. And I'm honored to stand before
He was being called a traitor by some people. Now, I'm a little that the context of that is interesting because you heard all the cheering. There was a woman that was dragged out of there, so the cheering very well might have been for the woman who was dragged out. And sometimes the audio is a little tough to disseminate. But still, Mike Pence is being called a traitor because of what he did, I guess, in reaction to January 6th. And this is what's interesting. Usually, you would have a former vice president who would be the presumptive nominee the next time around. I don't think that that's going to happen for Mike Pence for a variety of reasons. But even with our current vice president, it's hard for me to believe that there's not going to be a serious challenge mounted. I mean, we don't know if Joe's going to run again either, but you get my point. There have to be considerations for a different candidate moving into 2024. Wouldn't you agree?
I think
potentially.
I think 100% on the Republican side.
I mean on the Democrat side.
On the Democratic side. I mean, you know, Mayor Pete, I think, has had a good first 6 months in the cabinet. I'm not saying he's going to do it. He's so young. I mean, he could wait till 2028. He could probably wait till 2040, you know, because he started so young. But I think he's somebody that certainly.
There's always people watching.
As someone once said, running for president is like having sex. You do it once. You don't say, oh, I'm good. I don't need to do that again. Like, everybody.
That. Well, that's something.
Okay. You know. And you thought Friday afternoon radio was boring. Boom.
So I think there's probably, you know, Stacey
Abrams. I have all kinds of analogies, and I'm running through them in my head because I think most of them would get me fined or fired. So, yes. We'll
but I thought that was a damn good one.
It was pretty good.
That was Jeff Smith, ladies and gentlemen. Tip
Bernie.
Your waitresses.
I mean, you know, three times a charm. He's run a couple of times. Keep bringing him back.
It's not going to be Bernie, but AOC is certainly going to be talked about.
Oh, God, please.
There's going to be one of the socialists that come out.
Without a doubt, Jane.
But you can't, I mean, AOC is very talented. I totally disagree with her politically, of course, but she's talented.
I don't disagree with that.
She understands how to manipulate media, and she's been pretty successful. I think she's going to challenge Schumer. I didn't know.
She's not going to challenge Schumer.
No.
Really?
She's not going to challenge Schumer. But, you know, she will be 35. She turns 35 in 2024.
So she's not going to challenge Schumer, but she's going to run for president.
That could happen.
Okay.
Now, well, again, I think it's hilarious. And again, we're going to see the war in the Democratic Party between the radical left and the normal people. And luckily, the party
who are
got
the normal people left at the national
well,
level.
Well, I mean,
though?
Oh, there are a lot. The moderates
Joe
far,
Biden, our president.
Our president. What, you know, we nominated a moderate.
Know what's going
How
on.
How did Joe Biden do this week with Vladimir Putin, Jane?
I mean, I think he did fine. I think, you know, just ask anyone in the world, and our standing in the world has skyrocketed since Biden took over. So, I mean, you know, that helps when you have partners around the world. It makes your life a lot easier and a lot better.
I don't care about our standing around the world. I really don't. I never have. And you know where we were hated most is when we were the strongest country in the 80s when Ronald Reagan was president. So we were in a better position there. I know that you want to be, Uncle Joe wants to be every country's buddy-buddy, but that's not the way to handle
international problems. But we're not the strongest in the world
right now. President of the United States, not president of the world or Europe or, you know, Russia. He's a president of the United States, and it should be America first.
How about the misogynistic behavior of Joe Biden with Caitlin Collins at CNN? I was outraged by the treatment of the media by the president. Go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Are we done with your fake outrage?
That's fine.
Okay. Yes.
But look, I mean, you talk about wanting to be the strongest country in the world. I'll tell you when we were not the strongest country in the world. We were not the strongest country in the world when President Trump got on the international stage at Helsinki and disavowed the findings of a dozen U.S. intelligence agencies to say that he believed Putin, that Putin didn't engage in cyber attacks on United States elections. That's when we did not seem like a strong country.
And that's when Putin was walking all over us.
Yeah.
I can't disagree with that, but I don't know that this was a much better show of force when it comes to diplomatic relations with the Russians.
There's talk and then there's
that. Today, the administration cut off the aid to the Ukraine, right? So where's that in the news? You got to look for that stuff. If Trump had done something like that, it'd be all over the headlines. But right after he meets with Putin and his private, all of a sudden he's cutting off aid to the Ukraine. That's kind of interesting.
I don't know. I don't know.
We have a new holiday in this country. Juneteenth has been approved as a federal holiday. Most support, I guess there were some House members. Was there anyone in the Senate that voted against it? I don't think there was. Maybe one person. I don't know why that was. But then a handful of Republicans in the House. That day is today, I guess. I was still a little confused yesterday. Federal offices, I believe, are closed today or not. I got the mail today. Maybe it was
the ones that got the info in time are closed. But
right. So I, you know, this is not a good representation because we have an all-white panel, which doesn't always happen this afternoon. I don't have any problem with recognizing this particular day. It's going to be interesting to see because not all businesses recognize every federal holiday, right? They kind of pick and choose. You get your vacation calendar throughout the course of the year. So it's an important day, though, and it's been one of those days. You know, I think a lot of people in this country, not unlike what had been discussed with the Tulsa race massacre, were not aware of the significance, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that kind of saddens me with this whole really polarized debate around critical race theory is that a lot of what people are talking about is just learning fundamental Black history.
There are other parts
of so-called critical race theory that involve like whites being all whites being the oppressor and blacks being the oppressed.
That's what we're opposed to. Because let me tell you something. I can't tell you how many guests I've had over the last 2 years, and Chris Rufo, who's been leading the charge on this, really has done a great job. I've not talked to, and you can press me on this. I'll ask every one of these people because I have. Are you opposed to teaching the Tulsa race massacre, Jim Crow? No, nobody is. I don't know any parents in Rockwood that are opposed to that. We're just not. You guys want to make this as an issue that Republicans are just trying to gin up the base because of racism. I encourage you to go down that path because there would be a serious misinterpretation of the anger that's bubbling underneath the surface with those issues and the indoctrination in school. Thank you. I'll stop.
Okay.
There.
Yes.
Well, I'm serious about it.
But this is a very important holiday. And
I support teaching about the end of slavery in this holiday. Nobody is opposed to that.
I was at the county council meeting and I heard Councilwoman Shalonda Webb say, you know, she's not from here. And she says, you know, Juneteenth is everything. It's like the best holiday. It's, you know, and she said, I came to St. Louis and no one even knew what it was. And I mean, it made me sad that. You know, that look, whether I'm not even talking about critical race theory, I'm talking about basics. And this is a basic. And we did not, and we don't, and I didn't know about it. I'm from St. Louis and I didn't know about it. And that ignorance upsets me.
Wait,
I never heard about it.
You didn't know about it until this week?
No, I mean, until adult life.
Okay.
Well, I don't even remember it in school.
Too.
I don't.
Yeah,
sure.
But I don't remember 95% of what I learned in
school. Well, I liked history. I don't remember.
But I knew about the Tulsa race massacre.
I knew about that.
I knew about Juneteenth, and I knew about him by the time I was in college. So I'm a little surprised of all these progressives who are like, we didn't even know about that. We got to teach that. I'm like, where have you
been?
Well,
nothing happened before they were born. That's true. You missed that part.
Good point.
So I guess my only
if something did happen before they were born, you have to apologize for it, even though you don't 40
years
any
later.
Responsibility for
Correct.
It. Right. That's it. One more word here. We're going to wrap it up. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, it's just that, you know, I hope that people's takeaway is not, okay, well, slavery ended, you know, Juneteenth, you know, 1865, and then everything's been hunky-dory, because that would skip a lot of really important milestones in Black history and in American history, such as the end of Reconstruction, the beginning of disenfranchisement and other Jim Crow laws in the 1890s.
And the progress that this country has made each and every decade since the 1960s, except for the last 5 years, when you guys are pushing us backwards. Congratulations. Jeff, it was great to see you. The host always gets the final word. Gene, great to see you too. Jane, you're going to hang out. We'll see you guys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.